Tonight I want to talk with you for the next few minutes about some thoughts regarding time and eternity. You know, the words time and eternity, I think, are two words, if we dwell on them, that really challenge our thoughts. These are two words that can certainly grab our attention. They're words that I believe can cause us to think very seriously. We know time began when God created the heavens and the earth, and we know that time will cease when the Lord comes again. When Jesus Christ comes back, our time on this earth will cease and eternity will begin. And yet I think all of us understand, particularly those who are older, that time flies by so very swiftly. It seems like sometimes the months pass by just as quickly as do the weeks. And yet, we need to realize that eternity will never end. And we need to be impressed with the fact tonight that God has given us the time to prepare for eternity. You know, given the fact that we have difficult decisions to make in this life as we endeavor to please God. You think about the temptations that we have to endure that are continually placed upon us on a daily basis. It's so hard to not conform to the pattern of this world as we see each day that we live. I just hope tonight as we think about these particular thoughts about time and eternity, that you'll take these thoughts with you tonight. When you go about your everyday activities for the rest of the week, when you have to make difficult decisions, when you're inclined maybe to conform to the world, maybe these thoughts and thinking about them will keep you on the straight and the narrow and keep you in faithfulness to the Lord. First of all, I want to point out tonight that life is short. I don't think our young people are really able to comprehend this fact, but our lives are up on this earth are very brief at best. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3, David said to Jonathan, "There is but a step between me and death." At this particular time, Saul was hunting David like an animal, trying to take his life. And how all of us need to realize, though, that the thread of life is so brittle, it can be so easily broken. We're traveling down the highway at 65 miles per hour, and we meet another car that's traveling that same speed. We're just a few feet, sometimes maybe inches from sudden, instant death. And I'm afraid we have those encounters with death more often than we realize. In Job chapter 9 and verse 26, Job said, "They're passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle hastes to its prey." You know, a ship will leave the port, and before long, that ship is completely out of our vision. The Bible says that's the way our lives are. Or as that great eagle swoops down to catch his prey and snatches that prey and begins his flight, our lives go by just that quickly. Job also said in Job 14 verse 1 that man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower that is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continues not. You know, even if we happen to live to be a ripe old age, those are but a few days in compared to eternity. That's why the psalmist prayed in Psalms 39 and verse 4, "Lord, make me to know mine end, the measure of my days. Lord, help me to know how frail I am. Behold, you've made my days as a handbreadth. My age is as nothing before you. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." and how we need to ask our God tonight to help us to understand how brief our sojourn here upon this earth actually is. Over in Psalms 102 in verse 11, David said, "My days are like a shadow that declines. I'm withered as the grass." We recognize that a shadow is very unstable. At best, the grass will only flourish for a few months. And the psalmist said that's the way our lives are. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, the prophet said, "We do all fade as a leaf." Yes, life is very short. You read the obituaries from time to time, you'll notice people of a wide variety of ages. We see children. We see those in their teenage years, those who are middle-aged, and also those in the sunset years of life. And even if you happen to be one of those that live to be 100 years of age, that's still nothing compared to eternity. When I moved to my first full-time work, I was 23 years old. One of the elders there, Brother Curtis Tucker, was 93. He was 70 years older than I am. And of course, I went back several years later when he was 103 and conducted his funeral. He was the last surviving World War I vet in North Mississippi. And oh, how I enjoyed talking to him and spending time with him. And by the way, just as a side note, he was one of those that actually believed that man has never gone into space. He believes all that going to the moon business is just a farce. It never happened. He said God doesn't want us to go up there, and if we keep trying, he's going to turn it right around and send the ship right back. He just didn't think we should be doing that. But I'll never forget one thing Brother Curtis Tucker always told me, even though he was past 100 years old. He said, "It's hard for me to even understand how quickly I have arrived where I am today. It doesn't seem like any time at all has passed." And he said, "Here I am, over 100 years old." You know, even if you happen to live to be 969 years old, like Methuselah, that is nothing compared to eternity. That's just a tiny grain of sand on the seashore of eternity. James says our lives are like a vapor, chapter 4 and verse 14. They're here for a little time, and then they vanish away. I don't mean to be morbid tonight, but I think something we must begin to understand and realize is that our lives are brief here upon this earth. We have no assurance of tomorrow. And that's why we need to use our time. The time we have here upon this earth that God has blessed us with, preparing for eternity. Secondly tonight, another thought I would like to share with you that's also difficult to fathom is that eternity is long. Eternity is endless. In John 3 and verse 16, the Bible speaks of everlasting life. Can you imagine the wonderful blessings of being in the glories of heaven forever and forever? And yet the Bible also speaks in Matthew 25 and verse 41 of everlasting punishment. Can you imagine the horror of being separated from God forever and forever in pain and anguish beyond man's ability to describe? You know, eternity is a word that defies adequate description or definition. The Greeks spoke of it as eis tous aeonis, which literally means into the ages of ages. It's the idea of going into an age and never coming out. And that's exactly what eternity is. In Mark chapter 9, three different times, the Bible describes hell as a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Just visualize with me an individual standing before the judgment bar of God, and this particular individual had failed. He had refused to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. This individual had heard sermon after sermon. He had had opportunity after opportunity. People had encouraged him and begged this individual to obey the gospel. But he lived and died refusing to do so. Or here's an individual that has strayed away as a child of God. He's become unfaithful to God. He knows he needs to be restored to the Lord. He knows he needs to make his life right. But in spite of all the admonition and the encouragement, he refuses to do that. And our Savior has to condemn that individual. And that individual hears those words, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." And there that individual finds himself in eternal destruction. The fire is so hot, the pain is so great, the horror of it is so excruciating, suffering is beyond description. And in that suffering, that individual says, "Well, you know, maybe this will be over in just a year." And when that year is over, the flames are just as intense, the suffering is just as great. Then he says, "Well, you know, maybe in 5 years, surely this will be over." But the torment continues. He then says, "Well, maybe in 100 years, this will be over." And still he cries, "Surely God would have mercy on me after 100 years. And he cries out, how long must I endure this torment?" And the answer comes back from the halls of hell forever and forever. You see, even though that life is brief and uncertain, we need to understand that eternity is unending. And yet think about what it will be to be saved in heaven forever. To be in the very paradise of God in the ceaseless ages of a never-ending eternity. To be in a place where you'll never grow old. You'll never have any more pain or sorrow or disappointment. You'll never be removed from that wonderful bliss of heaven. A third thought that I would like to consider tonight, and I think this is very important, we need to understand that sin is ugly and repulsive. Now, 1 John 3 and verse 4 says, "Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law." You know, if you're out here on the road and you run a stoplight, you violate man's law. But if you go out here and, you know, God tells you not to lie, not to cheat, not to steal, not to commit sexual immorality, and you go ahead and do so, you transgress God's law. Or if God tells us that we need to go out here and teach the lost, we need to restore the erring, that we need to be involved in prayer to Him, we need to be concerned about our influence, and yet we don't do that, then we also transgress God's law. You see, it doesn't matter the manner in which we transgress God's law. However it's done, it's repulsive to God. We need to understand that sin, no matter how we transgress, is repulsive and ugly in God's sight. Now, I think in our culture today, in our society, we try to minimize sin. Most televangelists that you listen to, even in many churches today, the idea of talking about sin and preaching against sin is frowned upon. It's something that we don't like to talk about in our culture. Have you ever noticed the fact that even our garbage smells good today? Have you noticed the scented garbage bags that you can buy now? You know, that's my job at home to take the garbage out, and I don't mind it a bit. I take the garbage out, and it doesn't even smell. And when I put that new Febreze garbage bag in, there's all kinds of different scents that come with that. Kind of smells good. You see, even our garbage smells good today. We just don't like to talk about sin. It's not a subject that people really understand today. People fail to realize how God views sin. You know, the Bible tells us that all unrighteousness is sin, 1 John 5 and verse 17. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, Romans 14 and verse 23. James says, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin, James 4 and verse 17. You know, if you're here in this assembly tonight and you know you're outside the body of Christ, outside the Lord's church, and you need to be baptized, you need to obey the gospel, and you choose not to do that, what you're doing, according to James, is you're just adding another sin to your life. Or if you know there are things that you need to correct in your life, you know there are things that you need to do to make your life right with God, and you refuse to do that, all you're really doing, according to James, is adding another sin to your life. James says, to him that knows to do good, and yet he doesn't do it, to him it is sin. You see, when God tells us to do something and we don't do it, we may say, well, you know, I can make my own decisions. I'll live my life as I please. I'm a free moral agent. I'll do what I want to do. What you've done is you've rebelled and sinned against God. On one occasion, a workman stole a radium capsule from a welding and testing laboratory. Anybody that would have this in their possession unprotected for as long as 30 minutes would experience certain death. That's exactly the way it is with sin. Sin at times may appear to be painless. It may appear to be harmless. You know, what's the big deal? But sin's always ugly and repulsive to God. It's an awful thing for an individual to die in sin. I think about an 8-year-old boy one time who went to visit his grandfather out west. And this grandfather lived in a part of the country where there were many caves. And this father told his grandson, you know, when you get a little bit older, when you become a teenager, we're going to go out here and we're going to search some of these caves, because there's some precious jewels in some of these caves. Well, that just captivated that 8-year-old boy. He couldn't wait. And that night, when everybody went to sleep, that 8-year-old boy found a flashlight. He made his way quietly out of the house, and he made his way finally into one of those caves, and he went in. And when he got in that cave, he was shining his flashlight, and sure enough, there on the wall of that cave, there were two beautiful pearls. And that boy, in his excitement, ran over and stooped down to get those pearls, and the fangs of a deadly snake fastened into the arms of that little boy. Now, folks, that's exactly the way it is with sin. From a distance, it looks beautiful. From a distance, it appears to be harmless. But when you come face to face with it, it's always ugly and repulsive. You know, Thomas Paine was an atheist who did everything within his power to try to destroy the faith of people in God. As Thomas Paine lay dying, he cried out, "Oh God, I would give anything, I would give worlds, if I had never written the age of reason. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Christ, help me. Stay with me for God's sake. If the devil ever had an agent, I am that one. And I'm here to tell you tonight that sin will never look so ugly or repulsive until we stand before God in judgment. If we die unprepared to meet God, if we die in our sins, we cannot go where the Lord is. Because the Bible says sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59 and verse 2. And so we need to realize tonight that sin is ugly and repulsive. That's why Ezekiel 18 verse 20 says, the soul that sins, it shall die. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. Another thought quickly about time and eternity that we need to think about is the fact that hell is real. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, but the Bible has a lot more to say about hell than it does about heaven. Have you ever thought about that? Why would God give us more information about this place called hell than He would about that wonderful place called heaven? Well, folks, the reason is because God loves us. God wants us to avoid that awful place. You know, if you were driving down the road and I knew that a bridge was washed out a mile down the road, I would try to flag you down. I would try to stop you. I would do everything within my power to warn you of the impending danger ahead. And yet God in His love and grace and mercy warns us about the danger that lies ahead for those that are disobedient to Him. For example, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth His angels and shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity. But somebody says, I'm not a bad person. I'm honest. I work hard on my job. I'm a good citizen. I'm a good father or mother. I'm a good son or daughter. I'm a good husband or wife. People think a lot of me in the community. I'm not a bad person. And that certainly may be true as far as the world is concerned. And yet if we disobey God, if we don't submit to His will, Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 30, He that is not with me is against me. Can we honestly say tonight that we are with the Lord when we reject His invitation? When we spurn His invitation to make our lives right or to obey the gospel? Can we honestly say that we are on the Lord's side when we refuse to obey our Lord? If we do not obey the Lord, based upon what His Word says, we have rejected the only power that God has to save us. Very quickly, one final thought tonight, and the lesson is yours. I want to suggest to you that another thought we need to understand that will help us and motivate us is the fact that heaven can be yours. Heaven is not something out there that's going to be unattainable. God offers salvation to all people, regardless of race, regardless of social status or economic status or educational status. Heaven can be yours. Has nothing to do with your IQ. It has nothing at all to do with how other people feel about you. It has nothing to do with your financial status in any way whatsoever. Those that are willing to come to the Lord, it's those individuals that God will allow to be with Him throughout all eternity. Revelation 22 and verse 14 says, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Then shall the King say to them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Matthew 25 and verse 34. See, no individual at all has to be lost. In regard to temptation, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says that the Lord is faithful. He won't allow us to be tempted above what we can bear, but He will make a way of escape. The Bible describes heaven in 1 Peter 1 and verse 4 as an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, that's reserved in heaven for you. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to go to a place where there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more disappointments, no more physical ailments, no more growing old, no more heartache. To be in a place of joy. Joy beyond human description throughout all eternity. Heaven is something that we anticipate and hope for. And it's a reality for those who live their lives in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, as we extend the Savior's invitation, I want to remind you, as you go about your activities tomorrow, when you face difficult decisions, maybe you're tempted to cheat. Maybe you're tempted to tell a lie. Maybe you're tempted to falsify something, or maybe it's to be sexually immoral. Maybe you're tempted to look at pornography in some way. Whatever the case may be, I hope you'll remember these thoughts. And perhaps these thoughts can keep you on the road to faithfulness. Remember that life is short. We don't deserve happiness in this life. God's never promised us happiness according to the world standard. We don't have the right to be happy here in this life. But God has promised us that if we endure, we will know a joy beyond the world's capability to understand. Remember that life is short. Also remember that eternity is long. It's unending. And remember how ugly and repulsive sin is. And never forget that hell is real. Hell is certain. It's a place that we want to avoid at all cost. And I hope you'll remember tonight, most of all, that heaven can be yours. Sin will keep you out of heaven. It will keep you separated from God. So I ask you tonight, as we sing the song of encouragement, if your life were to end this day, where would you spend your eternity? Are you a Christian? Have you obeyed the gospel? Tonight you can do what one of our college students did on Wednesday night. If you, in simple, trusting faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, if you're willing to believe in Him, change your life in repentance, confess His name that He is the Son of God, then tonight you can be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. The Lord will add you to His church. Tonight, the invitation is yours. If you need to respond, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.